Now we're holding on Kuf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, the sixth line. We learned in the Mishnah about the case where a person paid off part of his loan. What do we do with the shtar? Now, as we said, you know, if you can find a third, but the concern is, of course, that the malva is going to go and try to, is going to try to collect the whole loan again. Maybe not even on purpose. He may forget that part of the shtar has been paid off. So we talked about in a previous mission a couple of blocks ago, you might deposit it with third party for safekeeping with instructions, but let's say you can't find such a person. So the Mishnah had said, Machalikas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, what we do. Rabbi Yehuda had said that we require the Malva to get a new shtar. We're going to tell him the old shtar that said that he owes you 100, we're going to rip that up, and we're going to have a new shtar written that says that he owes you 50. Where's Rabbi Yossi? Where's Rabbi Yossi? Says you write a shover, you tell the loiver that the malva would tell the malva tells the loiver, I'm going to write you a shover, a receipt that says that you paid me 50. And then we have in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says in that case, how could you do that? Then you're putting a responsibility on the loiver to watch that document all the time, make sure it doesn't get eaten by mice or whatever. And if not, he's going to be on the hook for the entire loan again. And Rabbi Yossi tells him, fine, that's how it should be. So we quoted a Braisa. We quoted a couple of lines from a Braisa, where Rabbi Yehuda had said that the new shtar is dated with the original date of the original shtar. We don't say according to Rabbi Yehuda that we're going to write a shtar with a later date when we actually write the new one that says he owes him 50. Rather, we're going to write him that he still owes him 50 as of the original date. And that'll be that way he has a shibud from the original date as far as karka that he sold and so forth. Now, the Braisa does not actually say the words Mizman Rishon. Now the Gemara is going to bring the entire Braisa, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi are going to have that discussion in there. So the Gemara says, my Braisa, what is the complete Braisa that we were quoting part of before? So the Tanya, Haresha Hoyu Notion Boy, suppose you have a person, Haresha Hoyu Notion Boy Elef Zuz, suppose that a person owed 1,000 Zuz to somebody else, Opora Mehen Hamesh Meh Zuz, and he paid off 500 Zuz of it. Edim makarin as a shtar. Then what we're going to do is the Edim are going to rip up the shtar, the koisvim like shtar achav is manrishin, and they're going to write him a new shtar that's dated the same as the original shtar. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So we learned yesterday, we said that Rav disagrees with that part about the Edim being able to write the new shtar. We said that Rav, in his capacity as a Tana, or even we said maybe not in his capacity as a Tana, but under rare cases, and Amora can do so, to argue and say that no, the Edim don't have that power, only Beis Din does. In any case, the point is that Rabbi Yehuda says that we do that. Rabbi Yosef, Meshtar Ziyehi Munach Mimkaimai. Now, as Tosfos points out, again, Rabbi Yehuda does not actually say the words Mizman Rishon. The Gemara is going to point out in a few lines that Rabbi Yossi himself is uncertain what Rabbi Yehuda holds. So we're putting in the words Mizman Rishon over here, but the way Tosfos says it is the Braisa truly says the words Mizman Rishon. But when Rabbi Yehuda is arguing the point with Rabbi Yossi in real life, then he's not using the words Mizman Rishon. He's just saying that the Edim write a new shtar, and as we're going to say in a few lines, Rabbi Yossi himself is uncertain what Rabbi Yehuda meant. Later on, when the Braisa was composed, then they understood that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that means that you write the original date, and therefore they put that into the Braisa. Which we find, as I've mentioned before, as we've learned before, we find that a lot of times in Shas, where the Gemara will attribute certain words to a Tana or a Tana Amoda, where he didn't actually say it in those very words, but he said something that amounts to that, and that's good enough for us. Anyway, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yossi says, no, leave the original shtar where it was. He still has a shtar that says that he's owed 1,000, but v'yichtavu shoiver, and let them write a shoiver, let them write a receipt that says that he paid off 500, and the loiver will have to hold on to that receipt. By the way, I mean, another possibility with all of this would be to write on the original shtar, to write the receipt on the original shtar itself. The Gemara doesn't seem to be entertaining that possibility for a few reasons. One of them being there physically may not be enough room on the shtar to be able to do such a thing. And if you cross out, let's say if you cross out the word 1,000 in the shtar and write 500, that's altering the shtar, and we've learned earlier in the parak that itself creates problems. So Bapashtus, we're talking about then that there needs to be some kind of shtar, some kind of independent shtar that says that 500 has been paid, either according to the Yehuda, a whole new shtar, or according to the Yossi, the original shtar stays put and you have a shofar. And Rabbi Yossi continues, now there are two reasons why Rabbi Yossi says why we would say that we write a shofar. Instead of, like Rabbi Yehuda says, whipping up the shtar and giving him a new shtar. Achas kedesh yokof l'poroi, one, in order that the malva will have an ability to force the loiva to pay. Meaning, in other words, the loiva, after all, is always concerned exactly that he might lose his shover, and then he might be done for all the money. So that gives him an incentive. To pay off quickly. In fact, there are a couple of points that Rishonim point out in this connection as well. The Ramban points out here is one way of looking at it. When a person borrows 1,000, for example, so he knows, the whole point is there's a shtar, there's edim, therefore there's a koil. That's what makes the whole shibud, and that's what makes the whole thing of nechosim and shabodim work. So therefore that gives him an incentive to pay off as soon as possible and improve his credit and get his credit rating back in order like this, because everybody knows he owes that amount of money, and sooner or later he might have to sell some of his fields to pay off for it. So therefore that itself motivates people to try and buy his fields at reduced prices. But once he's paid off part of the debt, then he might think, okay, now it's not so bad. I don't owe as much money, and people are not going to try to buy my fields at reduced prices. So now instead, Rabbi Yossi says, give him a shover, let him have the worry about holding on to that shover, and there still exists out there a document that says that he owes 1,000, and that'll motivate him to pay off the rest rather than stalling with it. Then you have another point. The Ran makes a similar point as well, that what happens, for example, if you, Rabbi Yossi would say, never mind 500 and 500. So what if he says, what if he goes and pays 980 of it and then leaves 20 of it or whatever? He's going to think to himself, okay, 20, big deal. Who's going to bug me over 20 zuz? And therefore he may never end up paying it. So therefore, let him write the shtar, let him have a shover. And he's going to think to himself, wait a second, I already paid 980. Do I really want the worry of having to hold on to the shover forever, where if I lose it, then I may have to pay the whole 980 again? So therefore, better let him just pay off the rest. And then Nimukha Yosef makes a similar point as well. Makes yet another point as well. Bechlal, in halacha, you are allowed to pay off a loan piecemeal, but it's not really the right thing to do. The Gemara actually elsewhere calls it mois rois. It's like it's bad money. And you think of it, dalkei shaloylam. You think about it. You get a large amount of money at one time, then you have a motivation to right away go and put it in your bank account and store it for later, as opposed to, you get $5 here, $5 there. You're more likely to go and spend it frivolously. So in the same way, when the malva gets back the loan all at once, or at least a large amount of it at once, then he's more likely to use that money wisely, and otherwise it's like mois rois. It's like he has more of an ability to fritter it away. So that's another reason why we don't want, Rabbi Yossi is saying, why we don't want to encourage loivim to do that, to pay back piecemeal. Therefore, better let him have a shover, and he's always going to have to worry about that he has to hold on to that shover. So all of that is included in this yokof l'poroi that will force him to pay back in various ways. Anyway, so there's all of that. The achas kedesh yigbim is man rishon. Another point is that this way the loiva can still continue to collect the debt as of the first date. As I was going to point out, now Rabbi Yossi didn't know that Rabbi Yehuda was saying that you should that 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 you write the original date. He thought you're going to write a new date. Well, then that really ruins the Malva's chances to get paid back, because now it means any property that the loiva sold between the original date and the date of the new shtar that Rabbi Yehuda is saying to write, he's not going to be able to collect from it anymore. So therefore, so he says, v'achas k'vishu yigbim is man rishon. He still has the original date to be able to collect as of that date any property that was sold from that date. So the Gemara says, what's the point? What do you mean? Kaddish Yigrim is man rishon. V'hor of Yehuda Namim is man rishon karmar. Rabbi Yehuda also said that you're writing the original date. So what's Rabbi Yossi? So what's Rabbi Yossi's concern about that? And the answer is Hachi Karmar le Rabbi Yossi le Rabbi Yehuda. Means Rabbi Yossi is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, you didn't specify in so many words whether the new shtar is written with the original date or with the new date. Again, when the Braisa was formulated later, then they put in the words Mizman Rishon because they understood Rabbi Yehuda to be saying that. But Rabbi Yossi is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, face to face, you have to clarify for me what you mean. Even Mizman Rishon Karmar, if you're saying that you write the new shtar with the original date, then fine. Then that doesn't create a problem as far as the shibud, but it still creates that whole issue as far as that the loiva has less incentive to pay back the rest of the debt. So therefore, poligna alach b'chodra. Then there's going to be one point in which I argue with you. You say there's no concern about that, and let him have a new shtar, and I say there is that concern, and therefore better let's write a shurger. Eves Mansheni Karmut, if you're saying furthermore that the new shtar is going to be dated later than the original one, it's going to be dated when it's actually written, Polignal Loch Patauti. Then I have 2 points on which I argue with you. Number one, you're saying write a new shtar, and I'm saying, but that won't give the loiva enough incentive to pay back the rest of the debt for the reasons that we just discussed. And number two, you're saying write it with the new date, and doesn't that harm the malva's shibud, that it makes it now as shibud begins later than it otherwise would. So in any case, the point is that's the underlying machlokas over here of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is about either the one point or both points, depending on how we understand Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So now the Gemara brings another discussion between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda that depends on that previous one. Turn it up on Shtar Shizmane Kosev Shabbos. What if you have a date? What if you have a shtar that the date on it comes out on Shabbos? Oiva Asar V'Tishrei, or on Yom Kippur. Meaning, not that it explicitly says in the shtar it was written on Shabbos. But the Rashban explains, you can have, for example, it has a secular date in it. So the shtar has a date in it, let's say December 15th, 2024. And when we look up what day that was, we find that that's Shabbos. So, or similarly with Yom Kippur. Now, we don't assume that the shtar was actually written on, we're not going to assume the shtar was actually written on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. We're going to assume that there's some kind of mistake in the date or something, if not a mistake, then at least something where they wrote an incorrect date on it, as we're going to discuss now in the Gemara. An interesting point in that regard is, our Jewish days begin the night before. A secular date begins at midnight, at least the way it is nowadays. In those times, it might have been different, but whatever. So what if you find it dated, let's say, December 14th, 2024, and we're going to say that that's said, and we're going to say that that's Shabbos. Maybe it was written Motzei Shabbos. A couple of possibilities. So there is a bit of a tzorach iyun in this that's brought in the Sefer Emes LeYaakov. One possibility is maybe Taka in those times, the Goyim also counted their days in the same way they began from the night before. Another possibility could be, you could always say that, let's say we're talking about that it's clear from the way the document was written, where it says that it was written during the daytime hours of such and such. So therefore, obviously it means it was written by day. Okay. Anyway, so what do we do with such a shtar? Shtar ma'uchuhu v'kosher divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not a problem. It just means it's a post-dated shtar. It means it was written on an earlier date, and now it was post-dated, and they wrote a date which turned, they wrote it in advance, a date which turns out to be on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yossi says it would be possible, as we're going to discuss now why they hold that respectively. The Rashbam discusses in some detail over here that we do have, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, that a shtar choiv that is predated is possible. We'll talk about to what extent exactly it's possible, but there is some kind of psul in such a shtar. So why don't we say over here that they might have predated the shtar. Again, it obviously wasn't written on the actual date that it says, but here we're saying Rabbi Yehuda is saying, let's assume it's a shtar mo'ocher. Why don't we assume instead that it's a shtar, that it's a shtar mukdam, that's a predated shtar? So the Rashbam discusses in some detail that basically, since we say that when edim are signed in a shtar, it's considered as though we already cross-examined them and interrogated them and found that all their ages is correct. So therefore, so basically, you want to say, you loiva want to say, let's say that the shtar is possible. You want to claim it's predated, then you're going to have to bring a proof. It's true, we've learned earlier in the perek. Rishonim also point out, by the way, it's true we learned earlier in the perek, Yad Bala Shtar Al Tachtoina. We said that whoever holds the shtar has the lower hand. We talked about earlier in the perek as far as various uncertainties within what it says in the shtar. But that's, for example, when we know the shtar is valid and we're just uncertain how to understand something that it says in the shtar. But here, where we're talking about the question of whether the shtar itself is predated or postdated, then we're going to say, this is all the Rashba explaining, further going on top of what the Rashbam is explaining, that we're not going to say without evidence that it's predated. The most we can say, it obviously wasn't dated on the day that it was, but it can be post-dated and therefore still be kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that post-dated shtaris are valid, so therefore that's what we're going to do. We're not going to completely ruin the validity of the shtar. We're going to do as little as possible to ruin its validity. And when do we say, Yad Bala Shtar, Ala Tachtoina, is when we have something we know the shtar is genuine and we're just trying to figure out what it says in it and how do we interpret it in favor of the holder in the shtar or in favor of the other one. So over here, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher. And Rabbi Yossi is saying that it's possible. Apparently because he holds that a shtar ma'ocher is possible, as if we're going to go work out. Omalei Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, V'haloi ma'isa bolofanecha b'tzipori, didn't a case come to you in Tzipori? Tzipori was the city in the north of Eretz Yisrael where Rabbi Yossi lived. He was the Rav there, we find in various places in Shas Tekonis that he made in the city, etc. Anyway, so a case came to you in Tzipori, Avich Shauta, and you yourself said that a shtar like that is kosher. So what are you telling me it's possible? Amalai, so Rabbi Yossi says, Krech Shauti, Bozehich Shauti. When I said that such a shtar is kosher, yeah, it was a case like what you're discussing over here, where the shtar's date turns out to be on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. We know Jews are not going to be writing shtaris on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, so it's understood, therefore, that it's a shtar me'ucher, and as we just discussed, as the Rashbam explains, we're not even Rabbi Yossi is not going to say that we should consider it's potentially a shtar mukdam, a predated shtar, which would be outright fossil. We're not going to do that. Again, you loiva want to say that, you're going to have to bring a raya, like anything else you would, to pass all the shtar. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, sure, when the date of the shtar itself indicates that it was post-dated, that's not dated on the date that it says, namely that the date turns out to be Shabbos or Yom Kippur, then yes, actually I would agree with you that such a shtar would be kosher. But we're talking a more general argument about where you have a shtar, the date on it comes out on a regular weekday, but we have reason to believe that shtar is post-dated. So we have a shtar now coming out in Kislev, Tavshin Pehei, and it bears a date of Tavis, Tavshin Pehei. So that Rabbi Yossi is saying that I don't want to say that such a shtar is kosher for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain soon. So in other words, in short, Rabbi Yossi is saying you're mentioning a particular case of where it's written, where the date turns out to be Shabbos or Yom Kippur, and you're saying it's kosher, and you're saying in general post-dated shtaris are kosher. But Rabbi Yossi says no. In general, such shtaris are going to be possible only when you have a clear indication from the date itself that it was written on a date that the date on it can't possibly be the date it was written on. That's when I'll say fine. We'll allow to say that it's a shtar me'ucher, and in that specific case, we will say that it's kosher. As far as the scenario, by the way, of what we mean, again, that Rashbam had said we're talking about where there's a secular date written on it, and later on we look it up in a calendar and we find that that was Shabbos, so Yom Kippur, Tosfos discusses other possibilities as well. You can have, for example, that it says a date. Let's say, for example, Tosfos says it says, let's say Gimel Nissen or something, and it turns out that actually it was Shabbos. Or they wrote the second Monday of Tishrei, and it turned out to be on Yom Kippur. So it doesn't even have to be involving secular dates; it could be Jewish dates. But also, it turns out that it was Shabbos of Yom Kippur. Christmas, by the way, also discusses in that case why Bechlal. In that case, do we have to say that it's misdated? I mean, it's obviously misdated, but why can't we say maybe the Edom didn't know whether the previous month was 29 or 30 days, as we find we're going to have in Sanhedrin in a few weeks. Bez Hashem, we're going to have that Edom sometimes for at least during part of the month may not know whether the previous Rosh Chodesh was one day or 2 days, whether the previous month was 29 or 30, and therefore they might be a day off. So Tosfos says, first of all, so if we're talking about, let's say they wrote the second Monday of Tishrei, there's no question, and that it turns out that year, that was Yom Kippur, there's no question then we have to say that it obviously wasn't written that day. They wrote the day of the week. Obviously they knew what day of the fact is, even if for whatever reason they thought it was the ninth, they're going to see everybody's going to shul and everybody's prepping Yom Kippur, they're going to know that it's Yom Kippur. As far as the other one, Tosfos says that we could be talking about it's the second half of the month. We'll learn there in Sanhedrin, Bez Hashem, that by the time it comes, the second half of the month, everybody knows when Beis Din had established the Chodesh, and therefore at that point there's no more uncertainty of a day anymore. So going back to the Gemara then again, so Rabbi Yehuda holds that in general post-dated shtaros are valid, and Rabbi Yossi says only when the date is such that you can tell that it was post-dated, like in the case that the Braise brought. Well, that's the question. The Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yehuda, Nami Bazek Omar. Rabbi Yehuda had brought that particular scenario. So then why is Rabbi Yossi arguing with him if he himself agrees? So the Gemara explains like this. Omar Pedos, Hakol Moedin, everyone will agree, Shemuskaknu Lo'inose Shol Shtar, that if we based in go and investigate and check the time that was written on the shtar, and we find that date comes out on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, then there's no question even Rabbi Yossi is going to agree shtar me'ucher hu v'kosher. There's no question that it will be that we'll consider it a shtar me'ucher and that it will be kosher because you can see from the date itself that it was post dated. The Rashbam brings over here he brings a Yesh Meforshim, which is actually found in Rabbeinu Gershon's Pirush over here on the Gemara, that it was actually written in the Shtar, these words, Huskaknu Lo'inose Shol Shtar, we have checked out the date that it says in this Shtar, and we found out that it's Shabbos or Yom Kippur. There is such an explanation, but actually the Rashbam interestingly calls it, he says, Hevel v'leitzonus. So he says this is nonsense and this is leitzonus. And he explains why it doesn't work to understand the Gemara that way, and therefore it doesn't mean that the shtar itself has that wording in it. It means that Beis Din goes and investigates and finds out what that date was. We've had in the last couple of days other things where the Rashbam says on a Pirush Hevel or other sharp words like that, dismissing it. One thing is over here, the Pirush that we actually have printed over here as Rabbeinu Gershom's Pirush, it seems it's not actually from Rabbeinu Gershom himself, it's rather it's the Bnei HaYeshiva of his Talmidim wrote down notes of how he explained things when he taught them the Gemara, and eventually that became what we call Pirush Rabbeinu Gershom, and therefore I guess that Rashbam doesn't figure he has to give that any particular validity, because we're not saying that Rabbeinu Gershom said everything that it says there. It's almost like a Hanocha Bilti Muga of a Sicha or something, you know, you never know what they misunderstood over there. So again, going back to the Gemara, so Pedos is saying if Beis Din actually investigates and finds that the shtar, that the date of the shtar is Shabbos Yom Kippur, then even Rabbi Yossi will agree that it's kosher. Lo nechlek v'al b'shtar me'ucher ba'alma. The question is about a regular post-dated shtar. So we have the date turns out to be on a regular weekday, and therefore it might well have been written on that day. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda l'taimei. So Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his svara that we said before. Dama ein kosvin shover. He says there's never going to be a case where we require the loiva to accept a shover if he paid off part of the loan. Or you could also have a case further on. The Gemara is going to talk about. You can also have another case where of a shover, which we touched on a few days ago, which is where the malva pays off the entire loan, and the malva says, "I lost my shtar and I can't give it back to you." Does the loiva have the right to say, "Well, you know what? Then I'm not going to pay you until you find that shtar, or until you bring edim that the shtar is gone or whatever, because otherwise I'm afraid you're going to bring it out against me again, mistakenly or on purpose." Or do we say that he has to accept a shover? Rabbi Yehuda, again, in the Mishnah had said that you don't accept a shover, that you're not required to accept a shover, period. Well, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, why nafik minei churba, there's no potential problem that could come out of it. Because what's going to happen, even if it's a shtar ma'ukhar, it's a post-dated shtar, nonetheless, there's no way, as we're going to work out, as we go down the Amud, about potential problems that there might be with a shover that you could argue doesn't refer to this particular loan, but rather to a different one. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, you're not writing a shover in the first place, so that forestalls that whole problem, and therefore there's no problem at all with a post-dated shtar. Rabbi Yossi, the time may. Rabbi Yossi is also going to his svara. Dama Kosman Shover. He says in the case of our Mishnah, where he pays off part of the debt, you do have to write a shover. And similarly, Rabbi Yossi also says, in a case where he pays off the entire debt, and the malva says, I lost my shover, then also we tell the loiva, pay him anyway, and he'll write you, if the malva says, I lost my shtar, then we'll tell the loiva, pay him up anyway, and he'll write you a shover. So therefore, and Rabbi Yossi points out, Nafik Minei Churva, now you have potential problems that can come from that, because later on, the shover itself is going to have a date on it as well, and therefore, what's going to happen is, the shover is going to end up, it's going to be dated before the date that was on the shtar halva. Nobody's going to realize that it was post-dated, and then when the loiva comes and says, I already paid that off, here's the shover, the malva is going to say, what are you talking about? That's a shover from an earlier loan. You see, it's dated before the date of the shtar. So Rabbi Yossi therefore says, because Rabbi Yossi holds kosvin shover, also requires him to say that a shtar choiv, where we can't tell whether it's ma'ucher or not, we can't tell whether it's post-dated or not, then we have to passel it. When we can clearly tell that the date on it is not the actual date that it was written, namely when the date comes out to be Shabbos or Yom Kippur, according to the various scenarios that the Rashbam and Tosfos pointed out, then fine, Rabbi Yossi says that's fine, because then obviously when the malva brings it to Beis Din, and we find out, and we realize that date was actually Shabbos or Yom Kippur, then we're going to tell the malva, well, in that case, then you have a shover, fine, but obviously you're saying that shover that the loiva is holding is not referring to this loan, because you're saying it's dated before it, but look, obviously you have to agree that your shtar itself was not written on the date that it was, and therefore the loiva has every right to say that it was actually written earlier and is post-dated to that date. Okay. So the Gemara continues in that vein. Omer of Huna Bereid of Yeshua. Afilu Lamanda Omer Kosev. Now, we just said that according to Rabbi Yossi, you write a shover whether part of the loan was paid off, or even if all of it was paid off, and the malva claims that the shtar is lost. So actually, the Gemara is going to say now that that's not so simple. Omer of Huna Bereid of Yeshua. Afilu Lamanda Omer. Even Rabbi Yossi, who says that you write a shover, that would be hanning milia palga. That's if the loiva paid off half or some part of the debt. The word palga is the Aramaic word for half, but just like in Lashon Kodesh, chatsi doesn't always mean a mathematical half, 50%. So it is with Aramaic palga. Yeah, for example, think of chatsi shevet Menashe. They weren't necessarily exactly half the shevet, but we still call them chatsi. So sometimes chatsi just means a fraction. Anyway. So Rav Huna Bereid of Yeshua is saying, when you pay off part of the debt, then yeah, Rav Yossi is saying you write a shover, and Rav Yehuda is saying that you don't. Avala kule loy, but says Rav Huna Bereid of Yeshua, if he paid off the entire loan and the malva is saying I lost my shtar or whatever, then even Rabbi Yossi would say you don't write a shover, and the loiva can say I'm not paying you until you find that shtar, or until we have clear evidence that shtar is destroyed. But the Gemara says, Veloihi, it's not so. Afilu akule kasbinan, we do even write a shoiver, even if the entire loan has been paid back, according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi will say in general that the loiva never has the ability to refuse payment of a loan, to refuse to say I'm only gonna pay you when you have the shtar. If the shtar is not available, then the malva tells him we'll write you a shoiver and you'll have to hold on to it for reasons that the Gemara is gonna explain soon. And the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this. We learned previously about the Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef and Rabbi Abba. We had a story where Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef was owed money by Rabbi Abba, and there was an argument about where Rabbi Abba had said, "I'd paid you," and Rabbi Yitzchak had said, "I have Edim," etc. And we discussed the point whether Rabbi Yitzchak has to bring his Edim to Beis Din. So now we have another story involving these same two people. The Gemara mentions, by the way, in Sota, that Rabbi Abba was very, very poor, and he owed people a lot of money. The Gemara mentions over there that when at one point they offered Rabbi Bohu the position of Rosh Yeshiva, of the central yeshiva of Eretz Yisrael, and he turned it down because he wanted the position to go to Rabbi Abba, because then Rabbi Abba would get a nice salary, and then it would help him get out of his debts. We see from these Gemaras that, in fact, Rabbi Abba was very, very poor, and he'd have to be borrowing money from people, and apparently at least once, maybe this is the same story, maybe this is a different story, whatever, that he had borrowed money from Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. Anyway, so Kihod, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, have a masik bezuzi b'Rab Abba. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef was owed money by Rab Abba. Also, the Kamed of Chanina Bar Papi. So they came for Din Torah in front of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi. Omalei, and Rabbi Yitzchak says to Rab Abba, have li zuzai, give me back my money. Omalei, so Rab Abba answers, have li shtaroi, fine, give me back the shtar, or shkol zuzach, and then here, I can give you the money. Omalei, and Rabbi Yitzchak says, shtorcha irkasli, I lost my shtar. The echt of l'chav tavra, and I'll write you a shoiver. Omalei, so Rav Abba says, v'harav u'shmul da'amu tavayu en kosvin shoiver. In the end, as far as this machloikos Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, Rav and Shmuel say, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't write a shoiver. So therefore, so yes, I have the money, but I'm concerned that I shouldn't have to hold on to a shoiver and watch it from mice or whatever. What if the shoiver gets lost and you forget that I paid you? Again, well, you know, he's not going to suspect Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, a Talmid Chacham, of deliberately going and lying and trying to claim the debt again. But after all, you might forget. Elsewhere, by the way, the Gemara points out that in Bava Metzia, we learn Talmid Chachamim, because they're particularly busy and focused all the time on their learning, they may well forget such things. We had a story over there where involving Rav Ashi, where he insists, if I'm going to lend money to a Talmid Chacham, there must be a shtar, there must be witnesses. Yes, of course, we accept the Talmid Chacham's word. We're not going to assume that he's going to lie, but he might easily forget such things. So here we have, similarly, Rav Abba is saying to Rav Yitzchak, you know, with all due respect, you might forget later on that I paid you, and therefore, and pull out the shtar and say, wait, Rav Abba still owes me this money, and what if my shoiver, meanwhile, has gotten lost, and therefore I want the actual shtar. And listen, Rav and Shmuel say, I don't have to accept a shoiver. I'm entitled to demand the actual shtar.
So in this case, when they came to Bezin, there shouldn't be no problem, because Bezin witnesses that he paid. If he pays him without the shtar, and he gives him a shoiver, doesn't give him a shoiver, if he came to Bezin, there's no problem.
I don't know about that. No, because eventually, those members of the Beis Din may pass away. What's going to happen? You know, years later, Yitzchak is going to look, is going to be looking through his files, or his children are going to be looking through his files after 120, and they're going to find, hey, there's this outstanding shtar, and they're going to go and try to collect with it. So even, yeah, I mean, fine, Beis Din can write whatever they want. Rav Abba is still concerned that a shoiver or a mice Beis Din or whatever, it's still, over time, it may get lost.
After 3 years, you don't rip up the shtar anyhow?
No, you're thinking of chazaka on land. That's different. Once you bought land, you bought it, that's that. All you need is 3 years chazaka to demonstrate that the other guy can't then come and claim that you stole it from me or something. But with a loan, no, a loan could be outstanding for many years.
In those days, Bezin didn't make a hempik or something and leave a note in the files of Bezin.
Again, even if they leave a note in the files of Beis Din, Rav Abba apparently is concerned that that's not going to be enough.
Right, because it sounds like those days, after 2, 3, 4, 5 years, the mice eat up the stuff anyway.
There's that concern as well. Yeah, there's probably a number of concerns. Yeah. Anyway, let's go on. So anyway, the point is, Rav and Shmuel are both saying, I don't have to accept the shoiver, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Omar, sort of Chanina bar Papi, the Dayan, answers Rav Abba. You know, you're mentioning Rav and Shmuel. We respect them tremendously. Man yohiv lon ma'afrei the Rav and Shmuel reminin ba'ainin. If only they could give us some of the dust on the graves of Rav and Shmuel. This is long after they had passed away. And we would put it on our eyes. In other words, we have such chavivos. We love them so much. We bnei Eretz Yisrael. We know what tremendous world-class Talmid Chachamim they were, and we would even go and rub some of the dirt from their kvarim on our eyes to out of respect. Elsewhere, actually, the Gemara mentions that sometimes they would actually use that as a medicinal thing as well. They had a notion in those days that dust from a caver is helpful for a person's eyesight, especially from a caver of a tzaddik. So Chanina bar Papi is saying in that vein, you know, yes, we have tremendous respect for Rav and Shmuel. We would gladly do that. We would gladly use anything from there to help, and their schus would help us. But nevertheless, you should realize, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, down with Tavayo Kosev and Shover. The fact is, we have Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish who disagree with that and say that you do write a Shover, that the halacha is like Rav Yosi. Well then, in that case, I'm going to pass him like them. And the Gemara continues. V'chein ki osa Robin, Omer Rav Ila. Similarly, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he reported in the name of Rav Ila, Kosev and Shover. Yes, we do write a Shover, and therefore, and the loiver is going to have to hold on to that Shover indefinitely until he pays off the whole. So even we're talking about again. That we're talking about, he paid off the entire debt. Nevertheless, the Malva can say, I lost my shtar, and let's write a shover, and the loiver is going to have to hold on to it. We'll see soon in the Gemara how we try to mitigate the potential danger that the loiver is facing, but still, you do have that basic concept. And the Gemara says, indeed, we're stabbed to Kosev and Shover. In fact, it is logical to say just that we do write a shover in such cases, even when he paid off the entire debt. If you're going to say you don't write a shover, then you have to consider, what's the logic? Are you going to say that if the malva, you have the other way around, what if the malva loses his star? Are you going to say he's not going to have any evidence then to collect the loan, and now the loiver is just going to get to eat the money and go and be happy? Meaning, in other words, we need to make sure that the loiver pays off his loan. So you're telling me we have to be concerned about writing a shover, because what happens if the loiver loses it? Well, you could say the other way around, and if we don't write a shover, then the malva may eventually lose his shtar. Now one interesting point in that regard is that after all, the Nesivos points out a question if a person takes a mashkin for a loan, then he's considered a shema sacher on it, but he'll be potter with onus or whatever, but nevertheless, he'll still be able to collect the loan. So why should the shtar itself be any different? And he explains that we could say that, listen, you know, a mashkin is not part of the loan itself, so that the shtar itself is considered the guf of the halvah, and therefore, basically, you could say, according to Rav and Shmuel, that if you don't return the actual shtar, then it means, in other words, that if you can't return the actual shtar, then or if the shtar itself is lost, then it means the halvah itself is lost as well. And in turn, he brings something from the Knesset HaGdola. We have a concept that the Gemara mentions in a few places, shtar ha'omid ligvos kegavri dami, that when you have a shtar that's going to be collected, that's able to be collected, then it's considered to a certain extent. It's already collected because you have a shibud on it. So now, that makes it, in other words, the shtar really is, can actually be identified with the halvah, and therefore no shtar, no halvah. Except, fine, obviously, if we have edim that it was burnt or something like that, then fine, that's different. But as long as that shtar is still outstanding, then Rav and Shmuel are going to say you don't have to pay back the loan. And the Gemara is saying, on the other hand, if we were to say, according to that opinion, the fact is, then what happens exactly that? If the malva loses his shtar, then he's never going to be able to collect, and he doesn't have edim, the fact that it's lost, then he's never going to be able to collect back his loan, and it wouldn't be right that the loiver should then be able to get away with not paying it. Abaya asks back, okay, so what the other way around? Ve'elamai kosvin shover. So then what are you going to say? The other way around, you write a shover. Same problem in reverse. Ovad shover shozeh yoichal lov chadi. Nu, and you have the same problem in reverse. If the shover is lost and the malva whether mistakenly or whether deliberately, goes in and then collects the loan again, are you going to say also he should eat it and be happy? Again, you know, fine, you want to make sure the lawyer pays back the loan. You also want to make sure the Malva doesn't try to collect twice on the same loan. So what makes you think that the logic of Koisvin Shover is any stronger than the logic of Ein Koisvin Shover? Amalei Rava Ein. So Rava says, yeah, after all, we have the concept, as it says in the Pasuk, Eved Loiva, the Ishmalva, the Loiva is a slave to the Malva. Now, not literally a slave, he doesn't work for him, that would be Ribis, but it means, in other words, that when we have something like this, where we have to put a certain long-term responsibility on one of them, it's going to go on the Loiva more than the Malva, and therefore it's more logical to say that that in that case we're going to put that responsibility on the Loiva to make sure that he watches the Shover and makes sure not to lose it. And yes, if not, then he is taking a risk. We find this Eved Loiva Leishmalva in other cases in Halacha as well. I think we're going to have something in Sanhedrin coming up soon about, for example, that if there's an argument, if you have an argument between the Loiva and the Malva, which base did to go to, then the Malva has the upper hand in such an argument. We have various applications of this concept of Eved Loiva Leishmalva, that we say that the Loiva is to a certain extent subject to the Malva as far as various areas of Halacha as it concerns the loan. So now we'll get back to the matter of Shover soon, but first let's deal with we were discussing before about post-dated status, and then we also have pre-dated status. We can have where star before we were talking about where the star is dated later than it was actually written. Now you can have the other way around. And by the way, so the halacha ends up being Koisvin Shover. In all these cases, Tosfos points out that even over here, where Abaya asked the question and Rava answered Eved Loiva Leishmalva, then Abaya accepted that, and we find in other places in Shas where Abaya takes it as a given that there are other places in Shas where it discusses this point about Koisvin Shover. But it seems from other places that Abaya eventually ended up accepting this answer of Rava that yes, Koisvin Shover. All right. So again, so we talked before about post-dated shtaris, but now you also have pre-dated shtaris the other way around, where the date on the shtar is earlier than the shtar was actually written. So Tnan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Shviyas, Shtore Chayv HaMukdomen Psulin VaMulchorin Ksherin. Predated shtaris of debts are posel, and postdated ones are kosher. The reason why it comes into the Mishnayos of Shviyas of all places, that's something you would think belongs in Dinim Mamonos, the reason is because you have it in some connection with the point, the Mishnah mentions it in connection with the point about a prusbul. A prusbul is the other way around, that if it's dated early, then it's kosher, because then basically what it means is that the holder of the prusbul is saying that any dates, any debts that I'm owed from before this date are going to be handled by this prusbul, but any ones after that implicitly will not. And therefore, so on the contrary, then he's making things worse for himself by predating it, because it means there are going to be fewer debts that are covered by the prusbul. And then if the prusbul is postdated, then it's possible, because then he's trying to claim that more of the outstanding debts that are owed to him are covered with it. So then the Mishnah mentions, incidentally, that the same thing, that the reverse is true as far as shtari chayv. So the Mishnah says over there that a shtar choiv that's predated is posel, a postdated one is kosher. To what extent we mean posel and kosher, Tosfos discusses in a couple of places in Shas, notably in Bava Metzia. There's a whole sugya about it that we've learned at the time where Rashi learns that it means it's not posel completely. It just means you can't use it to collect from nechosim b'shabodim. You can still collect it to collect. You can still use it to collect from nechosim b'nei chorin. It's not outright posel. But the point is, in other words, that now with it being predated, then it's going to look like he took out the loan earlier. And therefore, people who bought property from him after that date, but before the actual loan, are going to have their fields taken away from them in payment of it unjustly. And therefore, so you can't use it to collect from Mishabadim, but at least you could collect it, use it collect to collect from Nechosim B'nei Chorin. Tosfos has a long discussion about it in Bava Metzia, and discusses that no, what it means is the shtar is outright possible. Basically, we consider, in other words, that we have no shtar here at all, and therefore, that would give the loiva the ability to argue paraiti that I paid it and other such claims like that. Anyway. So fine. So that's as far as shtore choy. Now, does that din apply exclusively to them? So Amar Nuna loy shono ela shtore halva. That din of that Mishnah applies only to loan documents because of these considerations. Aval shtore nekachomemka afilam uchore nami psulin. But when it comes to documents of buying and selling land, then whether predated or postdated, says Rav Nuna, those are going to be possible either way. So now again, Rav Hamnuna's din is based on, the Rashbam points out, is based on holding like Rabbi Horda, that in Koisman Schreiber, as we said before, according to Rabbi Yossi, if the document is post-dated, you have the problem of a Schreiber anyhow. We're going to get back to that soon in the Gemara. But here he's talking so far, according to the opinion, that in Koisman Schreiber, so therefore there's no potential problem with a post-dated Shtar Halva. If anything, all he's doing is, by post-dating it, he's making his Shibud weaker. He's making it that any property that the Loiva sold from the date of the actual loan until the date written on the shtar is not going to be included in the shibud. Fine, he wants to do that because of the hate, but predated would be a problem. By the way, the Rashbam mentions in this connection, there actually are cases where a predated shtar can be kosher as well, where you have where the shtar was written in Nissan, for example, but he didn't actually borrow the money until Tishrei, so that's different over there. That actually, we learned in Bava Metzia about it, where there's a kinyan in the shtar, you can say that it means that the shibud takes effect as of the kinyan, even long before the money was borrowed, and Abaya says that the Eid b'chasum of Zochen Loi, once it's signed, then the shibud takes effect automatically. But that's where we wrote the shtar intending to borrow then, and then he didn't actually end up borrowing the money until a few months later. Here, we're talking about an R sugya. Over here, we're just the actual halva took place in Tishrei, but they decided to write the shtar as though it was written 6 months earlier. So that was saying it's possible, again, possible completely, according to Tosfos, possible to collect from the Chosim Mishabodim, according to Rashi. Anyway, so Rav Hamnuna is saying all of that you can have by shtore halva. When it comes to shtore mekachomemker, doesn't matter. Afilu mochoren nami psulin. Even a post-dated one is going to be possible because there are problems that can there's a whole scam that you can do with that. Demazbin like Arabin Nissan, you might have, for example, that Reuven sells the field to Shimon in Nissan because of Leva Tishrei. He writes that the transaction took place in Tishrei. Umisrami le Zuzi Beni Beni. Meanwhile, Reuven gets some money and he wants to buy back his field. The Zovin Leminei, he buys back the field from Shimon, and he says, I want back the shtar, and Shimon might say that the shtar is lost and I can't give it back to you, so we're going to write a new shtar on that field and it's going to have the actual date. The problem is, Kimoti Tishrei, eventually when Tishrei comes, Matikle, Shimon is going to take out the original shtar that he claimed was lost, and he's going to say, look, I bought it back from you. And here you see, I have a shtar dated Tishrei. So to avoid that kind of scam, then we don't want to have even post dated shtaris when it comes to buying and selling land, because then conceivably you could have that kind of trick can be done.
Don't we write down the year of the king or something?
Fine. But the fact is, in other words, that's what we're talking about. We're saying that. So the actual transaction took place in Nissan of the third year of the king. Let's say we're talking about a Jewish king whose years begin in Nissan. So we wrote Nissan of the third year of the king. But in fact, we write Tishrei of the third year of the king. And meanwhile, the actual transaction had taken place earlier in Nissan of that same year. So what we're saying is, in other words, so in Nissan, Reuven sold the field to Shimon, but they wrote out a shtar saying that the sale took place in Tishrei 6 months later, still within the same year, let's say. Later on, Reuven buys back the field from Shimon. He says to Shimon, well, then give me back the shtar. Shimon says, I lost it. Let's write a new shtar dated now, Tammuz of the third year of the king, because that's when we're actually doing it. So
no
now,
shriver, no shriver because they don't. You don't need a shriver.
It's not a matter of a shriver. Yeah, there's no shriver involved over here in sales of land. Yeah, yeah. Later on, when it comes to Tishrei, Shimon's going to pull out the shtar, go over to Reuven and say, "Here, this is my field. Look, here's a shtar dated Tishrei, the third year, that says I own this field."
You can't say this only for the year, one the same year and different year.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. The same year or different year is the same. You're going to have the same possibilities anyway. Yeah.
No, but if the king is in the third year of the king and this becomes the fourth year, then it's different. It's an old star.
No. Again, what we're talking about is that we're talking about the shtar is post-dated, so it doesn't matter whether it's within the same year or a different year. The point is, so fine, let's say it's dated Tishrei the fourth year. So fine, Shimon will wait a year and a half, and he'll bring out his shtar, same thing.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah. In fact, at the beginning of Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara discusses this is precisely why we need a defined date for the beginning of a king's year, because it actually explains over there precisely that. Otherwise, if we're just going to go, you might say, well, what's just go according to when the king actually assumed the throne and have done with it. The problem with that is that that people may, over time, forget what that date is, what that date was, and then they're going to be uncertain how to date the shtaris, and you can have all these problems of predated and postdated shtaris. Anyway. So getting back to the Gemara over here. So again, sort of, I'm going to say that you have this problem with shtare mekach u'menker. So the Shach actually points out that it may not really be necessary to say that we're talking about here. The Rashbam is saying that the original buyer Shimon claims he lost the shtar, and therefore we have to write a new one. The Shach actually points out on Shulchan Aruch that really that's not strictly necessary. It's not like when you're selling a field, you have to necessarily reuse the original shtar. You usually would write a new shtar. But the point is, in other words, that the old shtar is still outstanding. The Shach also points out, by the way, he points out that if we're talking about when the Moicher doesn't know that the shtar was post-dated, if he agreed to have a post-dated shtar, then fine, then we could say that we could say that it's kosher. Because he knows what's going on over here. Anyway, the point is that so you have this possibility of the scam over here. So they want to ask you, Hachi Shtar Halvanami. Well, then don't we have the same consideration when it comes to a Shtar Halva? How can we allow a post-dated one? Zimni di Yazif in Nissan, same problem. I borrow the money in Nissan. Because of the Shtar of a Tishrei, he writes the Shtar as if the loan took place 6 months later in Tishrei. Or Mesidami Lezuzi Beni Beni. Meanwhile, he gets money and pays back the loan. Or Parale, and he pays back. And he says to the Malva, give me my shtar. And the Malva says, like in the story of Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef earlier on the Omer, I lost the shtar. Because of Leitavra, so we're going to say fine, and we're going to follow Rabbi Yossi, and we're going to follow Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, like we said before on the Omer, and we're going to write him a shtover, and the shtover is going to be dated now. And then when it comes Chodesh Tishrei, Mapikle, then the Malva is going to take out the shtar, Va'omale, and he's going to say, Hani Hashtahu Diyazfis Minoi. Well, you borrowed this money from me only now. And the shtar that you have is from a different earlier loan. So how can we allow a shtar Choyv HaMu'ucher and have this work out? So the Rashba explains, actually, the Ritva rather explains that, listen, you know, if it weren't for Rav Hamnuna's explanation, you would say, you know, when the Mishnah had said before that a post-dated shtar is kosher, then you would say, fine, that means when we write the Fedush and the shtar, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, that it's post-dated. But Rav Hamnuna is saying as a blanket statement that when the shtar choyv ha-me'ucher is kosher, implying even if such a nusach was not written, and therefore that because he's contrasting it with Shtari Mekach HaMemker, where it's going to be possible in such a case. So the question is, without writing that such a nusach, then with Shtar Choyv also, then if you're going to write a Shover, then you have the same problem. And the answer is exactly that, like we said before, Kasavra ain't post fin Shover. Well, Rav Hamnuna holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's no Shover to be written in the first place, so therefore there's no problem with the loan document being post-dated. Well, now the question then becomes, Amalei Rav Yehuda l'Rav Kahana, Ba'amalei Rav Yumi Yabidifti l'Rav Kahana. So Rav Yehuda or Rav Yumi Yabidifti asks Rav Kahana, well, what about Idna de Kasvin and Shtori Mulchori? What about nowadays? People sometimes do write a Shtar Choyv that's post-dated. Now the way the Gemara is making it sound, it almost sounds like Rav Yehuda or Rav Yumi Yabidifti are saying we do that even L'Chatchila. The fact is, the Rashba says you're not really allowed to do that in Hatchila. It's still Merci Kashikra. It looks like a lie. But no, and then Amar brings out Lahalacha. But fine, it means at least that we do sometimes do such a thing, b'di'evin. It can also mean, for example, the Ritva explains, the Rashba and the Ritva explain, it can mean that also that they ended up, they did the Kinyan one day, and then later it took them a few days till they got around to writing the Shtar, and then they wrote that day. So such a thing would be kosher, and we do that. But the actual loan was done a few days earlier, and the Kinyan was done a few days earlier than the date on the Shtar. Vikas Vin and Tavra, and we do write a Shtoyver, because we hold in the end, like Rabbi Yossi and like Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish who agree with him, that we do write a Shtoyver. The question then becomes, am I Kavdin and Hochi? Then why are we doing that? How could we do such a thing when, again, you have that concern that that later on the shoiver is going to seem to be earlier than the loan? You have a Marashah takes out a number of the words in the Gemara over here and replaces it with something with less words, basically Deloy Abdin and Hachi, that he says we don't do like that. We do it amounts to the same thing. In other words, basically that we don't do that in terms of not writing a shoiver. We do in fact write a shoiver, and we do sometimes do documents that are post dated. He says the Rosh has the same girsa as well. The girsa would just be about in a deloy kavdin and hachi. We don't do that the way that Rav Hamnuna was saying. Because vin and shtori mochori, we do write a shtamoch of a kasvi tavra, and we do write a shover. So what do we do? So how could we do such a thing? So he answers him, Bosu the Omalahu Rab Abba Safre, because now we have a Takana. Rab Abba had told, maybe that's the same Rab Abba from the story before, maybe a different Rab Abba, but anyway, he had told his Sofrim of his Basin, Ki Kasvisu Shtam Uchari. What you should do is, when you write a Shtar Ma'ucher, if you ever write a post-dated Shtar, like we were discussing, Kisvu Hochi, write the following Nusach in the Shtar. Shtara Denan Loi Bezimne Ksavne, we did not write this document on the date that it says on it. Ela Echanuhu V'Kasavnuhu, we wrote it on a date later than the original thing. So therefore, so now it all works. Now that prevents. So now it'll be clear when the loiver pulls out his shtoyver and the malva tries to say, yeah, but that's for an earlier loan, then the loiver will point to him, look, on your shtar, it says that your shtar is not dated when it was, so therefore I have every right to claim that this shtoyver belongs to this halva. And in fact, that Amban points out, if we do that, then it would work even with Shtore Mekachomemker. The whole concern we had before is, again, that Shimon might later pull out the document and claim that the field was resold to him or was resold to him again. Now, if we have a Nusach like that written in the Shtar, then that avoids that problem. Well, the Gemara says, Amulet of Ashila of Kahana. Well, in the next generation, so now later on, not the next generation, here we had Rav Yema and Rav Yumi of Gifti asking of Kahana, and then Rav Ashi asked of Kahana, Amulet of Ashila of Kahana, or in the Delekav Din and Hochi. Nowadays, we don't even do that. We have post dated Shtaris, and we don't write that Nusach in it, and we do say that you write a Shoiver. So now, what do we do to avoid any of these problems? And Rav Kahana answers, Bosad Omalay of Safra, the Safre, because eventually Rav Safra made a Takana and told his Sofrim, that never mind writing a nusach like that in the shtar. We're going to instead write something in the shoiver. We're going to say kikas visu hanu tavri. When you write a shoiver, and when the malva claims that his document was lost, and we need to write a shoiver, write as follows. If you know the date that was on the original shtar, even though it's lost, kisvu, then you write that date in the shoiver. You say, in other words, this shoiver is to certify that Reuven paid back Shimon the $100 that he borrowed from him on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, let's say. On Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Tavshin Pei Dalet, let's say. Eloy, if you don't know the date of the original Shtar, Kisvu Sama, then just write generically, just write the Shover without a date at all. Dekolemus Tenofik Lare. If the Malva ever pulls out the Shtar Choiv, then the loiver will be able to pull out the shover and say, look, the shover bears no date, so therefore it could be, and I'm claiming that it was before, that it was after that alva, meaning that I paid it back. So therefore, so that avoids any of the problems. Now, of course, that means that the Malva himself is going to have to make sure that is going to have to make sure not to lend him the exact same amount of money again. Fine, that's his problem, basically. The Rashbam says. So yeah, if he does that, if he lends him the exact same amount of money again, and he knows the loiva has an open ended shover like that, then that's he's taking a risk by doing that. So that's another way of working as well. Why did Rav Safra need that takana if they already had the takana of Rav Abba to write that nusach and the shtar? So Tosfos says they may have been forgetting to write that nusach and the shtar, and therefore Rav Safra came up with another approach that even if they forget to write in the shtar, that the shtar is not written on the day that it actually says, then nevertheless we can protect it through the shover. Marsha, interestingly, brings that there were older manuscripts or prints of Tosfos that actually have, the word is not soichrin, that means that they forgot, but rather soichrin. People would hire soichrin to add to a shtar that they already had, that this shtar was not written on the date that it was, so instead of writing such a nusach, where potentially you could add that to a later shtar, instead Rav Safra came up with this method of writing the shover, either referring to the explicitly to the date of the original shtar, or open-ended, if they don't remember the date of the original shtar, and that way that avoids this kind of problem where people might hire soifrim to add this to the shtar for them. But the Gemara continues one more thing. Nowadays we don't even do that. As time went on, they didn't even do that. They didn't write anything in the shtar itself. They sometimes would post date the shtar. Again, either completely post dated, which you're not really supposed to do because mechti kashikra, but they would do it anyway sometimes. Or again, where the loan and the kinyan took place on a certain date, and then the date of the shtar was, and then the shtar was written a few days later. So they, we have says Ravina to Rav Ashi, or says Rav Ashi to Rav Kahana, that nowadays we don't seem to do any of these things. We don't write the nusach and the shtar that we post-dated it. We don't write a shover without a date. So now the question is, how can we allow a post-dated shtar where, again, the potential problem is that the loiva is going to bring out his shover, and the malva is going to say, yeah, but that's earlier than the loan because the loan itself is post-dated. Because the loan itself, because the date of the shtar of the loan is later, and he's saying it's not that it's post-dated, it was actually took place then, and therefore your shoyver doesn't prove anything. So how do we avoid that? Rav Ashi or Rav Kahana, as the case may be, answers, listen, Rabbanan takuni takuni. The Chachamim made a takana, the Chachamim made either Rav Abba's takana or Rav Safra's takana to avoid these kinds of problems. Manda Ovid Ovid. So anybody who follows that, then good. He's protecting himself. Mandalay Ovid. At this point, if somebody doesn't want to do either of these things, Ihu Dafsid Anafshe, then he's the one causing himself a loss. And we can't say that we should have to make up new halachas or new takonas or whatever to avoid that. Beyond that point already, we expect the person to take some due diligence, to exercise some due diligence. You have the options that the Chachamim gave to you of how to avoid these potential problems. You don't want to do that, and you're going to just say, I'll accept the shover, and you're not worried about that the shtar may be post-dated, etc., then that's your problem. Okay. So we've established that we do write a shover, and we've discussed the various issues with that. So we'll continue, Be'ez Hashem, in the next year on Motzei Shabbos, we'll continue talking about various other issues involving the dating of shtaris and involving new shtaris, as we discussed in the Mishnah, and so forth.
But the outcome is that we have two ideas. One, you write down that you write down the same dates.
Right.
Or you write down
a shover using the same date or open ended as the case may be, right? And if you don't bother with either of those things, then the Chachamim can't really do anything more for you, yeah. I mean, in Pashtus nowadays, you would say more straightforwardly, you might have a serial number on the original shtar or something, and then you'll use the same serial number on the shover. That's the equivalent of using the same date.
Right, and all this is speaking about, Abby said the witnesses are not around also to ask them.
Again, we're talking about the witnesses are not available, and you may have a Maisa based in on the subject, but it might be lost, etc. Yeah.
And we didn't discuss anywhere how long Malva is to hold on, or Leva to hold on to their
So they're showered respectfully. No, it's as long as necessary. Yeah, again, when it comes to a field, we say once a person, we learned earlier in the Masechta,
right,
once
three
a person
years,
has had 3 years uninterrupted possession of a place and nobody has been ma'ar, or nobody claimed that it's stolen or whatever, that's somehow mine, then fine, then he figures I don't have to hold on to my shtar. The point of the shtar there is only to demonstrate that he owns the field, so at that point the chazaka is good enough. But here, the point of the shtar is to say that you owe me money, or the point of the shtar is to say I paid you back. The money that the shofar is to say, I paid you back the money that I owed you. So yeah, there's no deadline for that.
Okay.